Sophia Minard.
And that right there means baseball at its best.
And now, leading off for your Milwaukee Brewers,
Valley Sports Wisconsin, Sophia Minard. Sophia Minard on Homer and Tony is brought to you by Century Foods. Enter Century Foods' Ultimate Baseball Fan Sweepstakes for the chance to win great experiences at American Family Field this season. Return the filled-out entry form to Century Foods by May 18th.
That's got me feeling this way. Sophia Minard every other week. Sophia, good afternoon. I know Sophia's there. I'm sure she's there.
Oh, my bad. Hi, Homer. How are you?
I like that. A moment of silence just to get us going. Well, I'm doing well. We have good news and bad news to me, I think, if I say it. But we have to start with Josh Hader. When Craig Counsell says the greatest start ever for a closer. Ever is a long time. I'm old.
Well, you're not that old, Homer, so I'm not going to fall into that trap. But
it's true. Yeah, it's not made up.
I think it's an accurate statement.
Yes. And I don't know.
What he's accomplished is really remarkable. And for him to get to the 100 save milestone at this point, and he's not even 30 years old, it's really remarkable.
Has everything stayed the same? How has it changed? You've watched it from the day you realize he realizes, everybody realizes how good he is, and then continuing. Tell us the inside story of Josh Hader. Take it away, Sophia.
It's a great story. I think, you know, and it does go back to 2015 when they were able to acquire him in the trade with the Houston Astros, along with Adrian Houser. You know, Houser and Hader are the two remaining players from that deal when they got four prospects, and the other two were Brett Phillips and Domingo Santana. And when Josh was coming up as a prospect, you know, everyone knew he had a great arm. He was young. He had a lot of talent. But, you know, at the time he was being groomed as a starter. And so even when he came up and made his major league debut, there was still conversation around him of whether he would stay in the bullpen or whether the Brewers would continue to stretch him out as a starter. But I think they just realized that his arm and his stuff was so effective as a reliever, just so unlike anybody else, that was really the best place for him. And so, you know, his usage has evolved as well. He initially was pitching multiple innings, 2 to 3 innings at times, and he would get multi-inning saves, and then he would be down for a couple of days. And then there was a conversation about how they could use him in a traditional closer role, which is what we see him now, too. So now that usage has changed, really going back to 2019, he's been in that traditional closer role. If he pitches one inning, to his credit, he's made himself more durable, more available with the change of the role and the change of the usage. And he's added pitches. You know, it was primarily fastball for him. Now he's added a slider. Now he's added a changeup. So it's been just so fun to watch. And you look at all the winning that the Brewers have done over the last 4 years, and I think Josh Hader is one of the primary reasons for that.
I'd love to ask this question. Do you remember the first time someone said, Sophia, he is so good, it's scary? Or was it a teammate? Was it counsel? Was it that there had to be a point in which someone said, you can't believe how good this guy is, before everybody knew how good he was?
Yeah, that is a really good question, because I feel like we've talked about his greatness like for so long now that it's hard to think back to that. I do think that we knew as a prospect he had a really good arm. And I think we knew he was going to be a really good major league pitcher, but I don't think any of us expected that he would be this 3-time National League reliever of the year, right? And because, again, he was groomed to be a starter. That's how he came up, and there was still conversation about that at the beginning of his career. And, you know, to his credit, just for how good he is, it became pretty clear that the bullpen in closing was the place for him. So I do think we knew he was really talented as a prospect. You know, the Brewers had to give up two really good players to acquire the four prospects in that trade. But yeah, I think I think just even seeing him that first season and how he was able to pitch to players and how, you know, hitters just looked totally lost against him, it became pretty clear, like, oh, this guy is different. You know, this guy is different than anyone else.
None. And I will admit, it's unfair. Anytime he comes on, you expect it to be a save. And you almost expect it to be up, three down. When somebody gets on base, what? Come on, Hader. What's going on here? Correct?
I know. No, I think you're right. And I think that's something we constantly have to remind ourselves of. You know, whether we're working the games, whether we're fans at home watching, whether we're in the stadium, is, you know, for as automatic as it feels, it is not at all. You know, it's a credit to Josh of the work that he does in the off season, preparing his body, taking care of himself, the things that he's working on. I mean, also, I think, you know, this is something Craig Counsell talks about, is we probably don't give him enough credit for how much he's evolved with adding pitches, and he's always adding new wrinkles. And, you know, he knows, you know, there's no secrets with him around the league. So he always has to stay one step ahead, and he has to continue to adjust to hitters and what they're looking for. And to his credit, he's done that year to year. So I think that's been really fun to watch too, is like, instead of just having this elite fastball with crazy velocity, it's like, it feels like he's really turned himself into a pitcher with the pitches he's added, how he's able to use them. And now a hitter up there, you feel like they have no chance because they have to defend against three really good Josh Hader pitches.
What do other hitters, teammates, or counselor, of all that that Hader does well, what do they say is most difficult about it, or what's at the top of their list to explain how not only that he's good, but as dominant as he is?
Well, I think it's the stuff, of course. I think it's the velocity, but I think it's also his delivery is a big part of it. You know, the way that he rotates and essentially turns his back to the plate, and then it's just these long limbs and hair and, you know, the ball coming at you at 97, 98, 99. A hitter just has no time to react. And his location is so good that, again, it's not just the velocity. He's able to locate it where he wants it. So I think anytime, it's always fun anytime that a player comes over and joins the team from another organization. And if they've faced Hader, and I go even further than that, if you face Josh Hader, Devin Williams, or Corbin Burns, or Brandon Woodruff, you know, that's like kind of the first thing that hitters will say is like, man, part of wanting to come over here was so that I didn't have to face those guys. And to me, that's the highest compliment, you know, when fellow league players are saying that they don't want to face you.
All right, that's the good news. The bad news is this is tough. I know you're not going to agree, but I have stated today Christian Yelich will be traded by the Brewers before the end of next season. They will find a team that has another huge contract, but it's a little shorter. It's very sad. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know what they do. To me, they have to put him lower in the lineup because you can't have someone hitting. And I know they've tried everything. He's tried too hard. I don't know how to bring it up, but I said it. That's what I think is going to happen, and you can tell me I'm wrong.
I do not think a trade will happen.
Okay. It's hard to talk about, isn't it? His play.
Yeah. It's a very small sample size. We're not even a month into the season. And, you know, Christian's had a couple good moments here and there, but he's, you know, still struggling to find the consistency. And I would say that that's not just an issue for Christian. I think, you know, any of the other players in the lineup would tell you that as well. And we've seen that offense is down around the league as well. You know, I saw a stat the other day during the Sunday night baseball game that there are almost 60 players across the league who are hitting below 200.
Yep.
So I don't think that this is an issue that's exclusive to Christian or to anyone else in this lineup. And I think, you hear from players a lot. I was just having that conversation today in the clubhouse with some of the guys. Is a lot of them are just slow starters for one reason or another. Physically, they're just slow starters. And so I think that's why you play a long season. I hope we're not making, you know, gross generalizations. I think, you know, 16 games into this. So I think you do have to just give it time and let things play out.
All right, back to the good stuff. We talked about Hader, but Corbin Burns, he's moving into Hader land, or Hader's moved into his land. It's not just, he's just so good.
He is so good. He's, he's just so fun to watch. And I think he falls into that hater category where anytime a lineup just makes contact against him, right? Or even if they draw that really rare walk from Corbin, it just feels so rare. He just doesn't give lineups opportunities to get going, to really have any sustainable offense, to put rallies together. It just feels like an impossible task, honestly, for the other team. And again, it's a credit to him. It's been really fun to watch him just kind of fall right back into the rhythm of where he was last year as a Cy Young Award winner. And, you know, I will say this, Craig Counsell has already said this several times, right, of, you know, we can't expect identical seasons from these players, whether it's Corbin Burnes or Brandon Woodruff or Josh Hader. I think that's true even across the position players. You know, we just, for as good as they are, we can't expect them to have identical years, but it sure does look like Corbin is kind of right back where he was, like mid-season form last year.
Have I neglected to bring up anyone that you feel deserves some attention or note?
I would say just, you know, the bullpen overall has been pretty steady, and I think it's been innings from a number of guys that, like, we didn't really talk about a lot at the beginning. You know, like, with yesterday aside, you know, Trevor Gott came into the game with 5 scoreless appearances, and he's been a really pleasant surprise. And Hobie Milner has performed well. Jake Cousins has pitched in some really big spots. And so I think it's been overall a very good start for the bullpen, you know, aside from kind of the big three at the back end with Boxberger and Williams and Hader. So I think all of that matters, you know, getting these early innings, guys getting off to good starts, guys settling in. So I think that piece is probably not something we've talked about a lot.
Sophia, appreciate it. We'll talk in 2 weeks. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Homer. Have a good one.